And hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about.
Никто не хочет. Вы уже все задолбали своей войной.
You believe that? That's a scene from Ukraine, one that's repeated more and more, with people being just taken off the streets and forced to go into the army by agents. I'm Rick Sanchez. Get ready for a Direct Impact. You know, it's kind of amazing right now to think of what's happening in Ukraine, right? That the vast majority of Americans simply do not know about. The vast majority of people in Western countries don't know about this. They don't know that Russia is decimating the Ukrainian army. They think Ukraine is winning because that's what they're told. They don't know that Ukraine has run out of soldiers. They think they have a vast and ready reserve, right? They don't know that most Ukrainians don't want to fight. They think, people who watch Western media think, oh, no, they're fired up, right? They're not. They don't know that Ukraine wants to bomb Russia's territory, and the Biden administration is saying, go ahead. So let me start with this. Speaking of what's really going on there, this is a video that the corporate and Western media is not going to show you, right? You're not going to see this on the BBC. You're not going to see this on CNN or Fox or Sky, because they don't want you to know what's really happening inside Ukraine. Here it is. Look at this. It's a recent video of a guy. The guy, can you see him there? He's like in his 40s or 50s, right? He's being taken off the streets. Imagine you walking down the street and suddenly some agents come and grab you. He's essentially being kidnapped by the government and conscripted into the war. Wars are usually fought by men in their 20s, maybe their teens. The average age of a Ukrainian soldier is like this guy's age. This guy may be older, actually, right? It's 40 plus is the average age of a Ukrainian soldier right now. I mean, think about that. It's kind of sad to see what is happening here, as this man will likely become cannon fodder on the front lines, where the Russian military has now taken back almost twice as much territory as the entire Ukrainian counteroffensive had originally gained. So, by the way, Ukraine is now trying to get its hands also on the 600,000 or so Ukrainian men who left when the war began. These guys are living as immigrants in Poland, in Hungary, in the Czech Republics, and most of them are, I guess, happy there. They don't want to join the army. They don't want to go back. But Ukraine is now putting pressure on those countries, right, telling them that they have to deny those folks their resident status or their passport status. Listen to this guy. You're going to hear him tell his story. This is fascinating, right? This guy's story is, he's in Chechnya. He's living in Chechnya. He says that they're not letting him update his passport or his residency papers because they want to instead direct him to some war recruitment office. Listen.
По-перше, мене звідти не випустять. У мене тут тривалий побут. Я тут проживаю офіційно, плачу податки, все як має бути. Ну, тепер така проблема.
Yeah, you heard him right there, right? He says, now I have a problem. Yeah, he's got a problem. Look, I don't mean to insult the guy either. I don't want to be mean about this, but does he look to you like a soldier? He's a little over the hill and a little out of shape, maybe even more than me. And worst of all, he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to fight. Can you build an army like that? Can you build an army with overweight 40 and 50-year-olds who don't want to fight? Maybe that's why there are stories of Ukrainian soldiers and recruits now who are now switching sides, and they're preferring to move to Russia. Some who are even now fighting for Russia, who started as on the Ukrainian side. Think of how crazy this has become. Here's another video I want to show you. This also tells the story of what's really happening there. This one is older, but it's what happens every day in the streets of Kiev. It's an older guy who's also being grabbed right from the street. He's being taken to the front lines, but his wife comes to his defense. Maybe they should send her to the front line. She's tougher. Anyway, I digress. She comes out And she starts fighting with the government agents who are trying to take her husband away. Watch.
Человек забрал и требует, чтобы он мобилизовался. Вот, смотрите. Верните. Кого хотят, того и берут. Вы понимаете, у них, видите ли, работа такая, забирать военкомат. Воевать никто не хочет. Вы уже все задолбали своей войной. Позабирали всех мужиков, всех ребят. Уже половина попохоронили. Мы паспорт. А вот видите, как паспорт, вы давайте.
Вырываете. Сюда верни, уважаю.
Так. Вот, ребят, видите, что трогает. Вот, ребят, что...
Unbelievable. We're tired of your war. You're taking all the men away. I mean, they want to drag him away to the conscription office, and she tries to stop them. She tells them she's tired of seeing them drag people away. She tells them that their war is stupid. She tries to fight them by grabbing back her husband's documents, and eventually they take him away. By the way, he will probably be trained before he is sent to the front. However, that's if we want to call that training. Look at this article that just came out. This is the Washington Post. According to this article in WAPO, not a chance that he'll be ready after he's trained. The article quotes Ukrainian field commanders who say that because training is so deficient, they often have to devote weeks to teaching them basic skills, such as how to shoot a gun. The commander says he gets recruits there on the front line who don't even know the most basic things, and that, quote, they will be on the front just to die. Those are his words. They're going to be on the front just to die. One soldier is also quoted in this article that I just showed you there in the Washington Post. He says that his training was complete nonsense. He says he was trained without ammunition. Each trainee only got 20 bullets to use for their training. And they say that that is why so many Ukrainians don't want to join, because the training is completely inadequate for the mission. Finally, listen to what this sergeant says. Quote, they have knee and back issues, the guys they send me, meaning they will struggle to walk. But some brigades are ordered to take the men anyway, even though they're old and feeble. Then he adds, there are those who immediately say, I won't fight. Of course, you try not to take them. But again, in our army, he says, the Ukrainian army, this is what he's talking about. He says, so it's set up so that the personnel department tells you, according to him, No way. You have to take him. He's healthy. That's what they say. He's healthy. But he's not, according to the commanders who are looking at the guy. Can you imagine? I mean, this is what we don't hear on the news here, Manila. It's almost like the Biden administration is just running out the clock in Ukraine, hoping nobody notices any of the things that we just reported before the election. No?
Yeah, Rick, I think your assessment is right. First, let's address the whole issue of morale within any fighting force, yeah. Right? I'm the wife of a U.S. Army veteran, but we have a volunteer military. You would be amazed at how much morale can save your own life, let alone, you know, knowing how to fire off more than 20 rounds. I don't know what the Biden administration is doing in Ukraine anymore, Rick. In fact, I don't think they know what they're doing there either. But I think your assessment is absolutely right, that they at the very least need to keep up these appearances. But Biden himself might be flapping his lips about support, but his actions actually tell a different story. Like Zelensky's wannabe bogus peace summit. Yeah. It's already a flop before it even began. Biden himself is not going to attend. Instead, he's sending Kamala Harris and Jake Sullivan. Biden is instead going to hang out with real A-list actors in the way of George Clooney and Julia Roberts, who are hosting this fundraiser for him in California, the same time frame as this phony summit. But the videos you just showed are leaking out all over the interwebs, Rick. Who do you think is posting them? Ukrainians. It's Ukrainians who are leaking them out for the world to see. These are evidence that there is a complete lack of support for this suicidal, sacrificial war effort, Rick. Totally lack of support there.
And by the way, if you look for those videos on YouTube or on American media or on the BBC or any of those, you won't find them. They won't put those there. They'll only show videos that make it look like Zelensky's Mother Teresa and one of the greatest men who's ever lived. It's funny. I mean, it's so obviously slanted in that direction. And we're not saying they should just criticize Zelensky, but they should show both sides of the story. And they don't. And we're talking about a situation which could fuse World War III here. So truth matters. By the way, I want to tell you about a group of Americans that do kind of get it, I think. So a group of Americans who are tired of being lied to and kept in the dark about things. And it's a demographic group that falls between 18 and 35. This is fascinating. These are the people who don't watch CNN, don't watch Fox, don't watch the BBC. They get their news from alternative and independent sources. People like my kids, okay, my sons, my daughters. They don't watch any of these channels. They don't read the newspapers, but they still are just as informed as anybody else. So the study basically studied these people, young Americans, and here's what they found. They found that young Americans believe that their country is a dying empire led by really bad people. Let me say that again. They believe America is a dying empire led by really bad people. That's just the opposite of anybody who lives in this country who is over, say, 60, for example, who thinks we're still the greatest country on earth. And let me break down these numbers for you. You see those there? A whopping 65% believe nearly all politicians are corrupt and make money from their political power. Only 7% disagreed with that. 64% agreed with the statement that America is in decline, and 51% say that the political system in the United States does not work for people like them. Wow, I was floored when I saw this. Manila, how's that for a description of a U.S. populace heading into an election? I mean, that's not a pretty picture.
Well, Rick, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, the 18 to 35 demo has the lowest voter turnout historically. Mm. Of course, their votes can make a big difference in contested swing states. But listen, Gen Z is probably the most informed generation this country has ever seen. They are native to the internet. What that means is mm-hmm. that they've had the ability to be informed in a way that no other generation before them has. They get their news, like you said, from all over the place. They know not to trust a single source. They grew up in a post-9/11, post-Edward Snowden, post-Julian Assange WikiLeaks world.
Yes.
Anyone that disparages them as, you know, this jaded or sort of disillusioned group simply aren't looking at the context of what these kids have borne witness to since they were children. So they have not only have a right to be skeptical, they have a duty, I would say, to be skeptics. If we older generations want to see this ship turned around, it's going to be up to the younger ones to do this with the knowledge that was, you know, once only available to certain elites, to do something to fix it. Maybe then this country can yeah. can be the country that we say that we are. So in this scenario, Rick, I am with the kids on this one.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And, you know, it's a sad day when I have to say a 35-year-old is a kid, but I guess I've gotten to that point in my life.
Me too!
But think of a 22-year-old kid or a 22-year-old person, right? Mid-20s, for example, turns on the TV and watches McConnell speaking or Pelosi. I mean, I'm sorry, 90-year-old people who literally don't even know how to use a cell phone, and they're saying, that's the guy who's my leader? Of course, of course, of course they're going to be looking at that and saying, this is crazy. My country has gone to hell. And that's what this very legitimate poll is finding. They think we're a dying empire with really bad, bad people in charge. Wow, what a surprise. Good stuff, Manila. When we come back, George Smuelli joins us. He's a friend of the show who has argued for years that NATO has purposely prolonged conflicts across the world. We're going to talk to him about what's taking place right now in Ukraine. Speaking of NATO, don't go away. We're going to be right back.
We need to counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays, on est en France quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
نشكر السلطات الأوكرانية اللي بيعنا هذا السلاح سوف نستخدمه ضد إسرائيل
الله أكبر
How can it be that arms are shipped to the Middle East from a country whose top officials constantly complain about shortages of ammunition and military equipment?
Зброя для України, боєприпаси для України, нові оборонні системи для України.
هلا اللي رح نعمله رح نتصل بواحد من تجار السلاح بمنطقة البقاع لحتى يجي يحكي لنا نصور نحن وياه مقابلة يجي يخبرنا بالضبط شو الوضع السلاح الأوكراني هل في سلاح أوكراني عندنا ولا لا ومن وين عم يجي
Why are weapons from Ukraine spreading all over the world? Who turned this country into a major arms hub?
We'll continue to bolster Ukraine's armed forces by rushing them the capabilities that they need to defend their country.
Everyone knows very well that we don't sell bananas, pineapples, or any kind of children's toys. We sell weapons. Yes, we're also known in the world as arms dealers. But we must not be ashamed of that.
Joining us now is a geopolitical expert who happens to also be the author of this book, which is perfect for what we're talking about today, given that we were mentioning Ukraine. Bombs for Peace is the name of the book. Bombs for Peace, NATO's humanitarian war on Yugoslavia. So he was one of the first to introduce us to this notion that NATO is not this pristine institution that we've all been told that it is. In fact, most people today would argue that, why do we need NATO anymore? Again, remind me? Anyway, let's talk Ukraine. So, I don't know, George, if you were able to see some of the videos that I just presented a little while ago, but you did, right? You did?
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that you can't look at those videos and you can't see that situation without thinking that Ukraine, from a military standpoint, seems like it's decimated, like it can't really go its own way. I'm not saying that they're bad people or a bad country or anything. All I'm saying is that it doesn't make sense continue to put gasoline in a car that no longer runs. And that's what that looks like to me. Yet that's what NATO and the U.S. seems to be telling us we have to continue to do. How stupid is that?
Well, it is very stupid. But of course, that's the consequence of Ukraine's not really being a sovereign state. Ukraine gave up its sovereignty some time ago. And as a result, everything that happens is the consequence of NATO driving a war and using Ukraine as cannon fodder in its plan to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia. And Ukraine, which should never have gone along with this, continues to do so, despite the fact that it's leading to the complete destruction of its country, destruction of its populace. And let's remember, one of the reasons why Ukraine is in the position it's in, which is that it's recruiting men in their 40s and 50s to fight in this war, is Ukraine has been suffering a demographic decline ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union. It just doesn't have that many young men to draw upon. And, many, of course, have left. But it basically has a real birth dearth. So what is it doing? This decimation of its population, hundreds of thousands are dead, it's contributing to Ukraine's having a horrific demographic crisis for the next, I don't know, 3-4 generations.
Unless its citizenship is replaced with proxies from France and who knows where, maybe even the United States, because we decide that we're just going to take the country over, which almost looks like what we would be doing if we decided that we were going to fight the war entirely for them because they can't fight it for themselves, which I mean, I know that sounds crazy what I just said, but if you read between the lines of what you're hearing from NATO and the United States, it almost sounds like, is that the plan?
Well, it seems like it. The plan seems to be to assume that Russia will somehow capitulate, that Russia, faced with the prospect of a war with NATO, will decide, well, we don't want to continue with down this path. We don't want to fight a war with NATO, so we will accept NATO's humiliating terms, because that's what's really happening. When NATO gives Ukraine a carte blanche to use NATO weapons, long-range NATO weapons, right, inside Russian territory to kill Russians, then you have to ask, well, what does NATO think it's doing?
But that goes back to the misinformation thing. See, that's where this gets really hinky, right? To believe what you just said is true, that NATO somehow has to stop Russia from doing what they're doing, et cetera, like Putin, hate Putin, it doesn't matter, right? You have to accept that somewhere along the line, Putin or Russia declared a war on Europe or the western side of Ukraine. I've done research on this. I've looked for it everywhere. I've never heard any Russian, including the Russian president, say, we are planning to take over Ukraine, or we're planning to then move beyond Ukraine and take over Europe. I haven't heard any of that stuff. So why are we constantly told that to be true?
Because it's a big lie. You are absolutely right. Putin's one demand in February 2022 was neutrality for Ukraine. No NATO forces in Ukraine. And in return, probably Ukraine would get its territories back, the Donbass back. That's all Russia demanded, was no NATO in Ukraine. And that would have been in accord with the pledges Ukraine made at the time of the dissolution of the Soviet Union. And instead of that, the massive NATO propaganda machine insist that somehow Russia wants to take over Ukraine, Russia wants to reconstitute the Soviet Union, and there isn't a scrap of evidence. They can't find a single speech of Putin's that suggests we want to restore the... And if you look at Biden's recent interview...
By the way, why would they want it? Why the hell would you... Exactly. Do you know how difficult it was for the Soviet Union to run those countries? Having those countries, or having to try and run those countries, destroyed the Soviet Union. I mean, I don't know if he's the smartest or the dumbest guy in the world, but I don't think Putin is dumb enough to make that decision. That would be stupid.
No, of course not. And he has said that repeatedly. We have no interest in reconstituting the Soviet Union. The only thing that we're concerned with is the lack of security on our western frontier, because we are surrounded by NATO states, and that is all they want. And in the negotiations at Minsk, the negotiations at Istanbul, when they came close to an agreement in April 2022, that's all Ukraine was asked to sign on to, which was no membership of NATO, neutrality, and a limit to the military forces. And it was that which Ukraine was about to sign, but was scuppered by Boris Johnson and the Biden administration, because they wanted to push. They were the ones who wanted to push Ukraine into NATO, and they knew that the result would be a prolonged war. So there is no aggression from Russia. The aggression is all coming from the West, from NATO.
There are reports, and, you know, as we've seen in interviews with Putin, and I believe him, When they originally came to him and said, let's do a deal, let's go ahead and see if we can figure out a way to end this thing. And he agreed. He said, yeah, I'm willing to sit down and do this. And I think Zelensky was willing to do it as well. It was the outside pressure from the Brits and from the U.S. and from NATO that convinced Zelensky not to do a deal at the time. And it really has worked against him, because... correct me if I'm wrong, if they'd done the deal back then, a year and a half ago, I think when that thing was first offered, they would have lost a little bit of land. Since then, they've lost a hell of a lot more.
Well, of course. And that's what the whole thing was about. And all of the Ukrainians who took part in those negotiations said, we couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe how good this deal was. It was a very good deal for Ukraine. It wasn't even a great deal for Russia. Russia was actually giving up quite a bit order to get that deal. And they said, we were already ready to crack open the champagne. You know, we have the champagne there. We had the documents. We thought, we couldn't believe we've got such a great deal. And it was Johnson. He flew in to Kiev and he told Zelensky, it doesn't matter whether you sign or not. We in NATO are not going to accept it. So forget about it. And that was it. And that topped it. And, you know, you mentioned my book, and it was exactly the same thing that they pulled, the stunt they pulled in 1992 that guaranteed war in Bosnia and Herzegovina. There was a peace agreement everybody had signed on, and the Americans
Let's go there because we're down to 2 minutes, and I want to learn what you know about NATO that we don't. So is NATO really just an economic body now? Are they just there to sell and trade weapons and create enterprises so corrupt people can make money in these businesses? Because what else do they do?
No, NATO is a mechanism to secure U.S. global hegemony. The mechanism is this continual expansion. It wasn't going to stop with Ukraine. The goal is then to move on to Georgia, then to Armenia, Azerbaijan, into Central Asia, so as to create an entire arc of NATO from, essentially from Lisbon through to Vladivostok, basically to surround Russia and China with hostile states. That's the NATO agenda. It has no other purpose other than essentially it's a war-making machine, because when you surround other powers with hostile states, well, you are guaranteeing war, because they're not going to put up with it indefinitely.
Yeah, they're supposed to be defensive. They're supposed to be there to protect. But in actuality, it seems like from your writing and your research that the experiences we've seen in the last 20 years is that they have been offensive. And right now they seem more offensive than we've seen in the past. George, you're a pleasure to talk to. Thank you so much for taking time to take us through this, okay?
Thank you so much, Rick.
That's our show. Remember always to look outside your own boxes. Truths don't live in boxes. That's what we believe. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you again right here next time.